I'm not talking about scary things like bungee jumping or riding a roller coaster or holding a snake around your shoulders. I'm not talking about those kind of scary things. I'm talking about the scary things that God calls us to do, the things that He impresses upon us, the things that make our heart pound because we know He's calling us to do it, but we're too afraid. I'll raise my hand in a minute. Fear has prevented me from doing many, many things that God's calling me to do. So what is it that we're afraid of? Well, I think we ask questions like, what if I'm not good enough? What will people think? What if I mess up? What if I fail? What if I let God down? What if I look stupid? What if I'm rejected? What if I get hurt? What if I get tired? What if I get overwhelmed? What if I'm just too afraid? Matthew 14, 27 through 31 says, and this is what Jesus said. Then Jesus said, be brave and don't be afraid, I am here. I just want to repeat that. Jesus said, be brave, don't be afraid, I am here. And then it goes on to say, Peter shouted, Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water. Come and join me, Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. Save me, Lord, he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up and said, what little faith you have. Why would you let down win? You see, Jesus was right there with Peter. Peter could see him. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. Jesus enabled him to walk on the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off of him and began to focus on what scared him, the fear got the better of him and he started to sink. And I feel like God gave me a visual of what fear looks like. So I'm going to use my husband. I don't know. Maybe
that's genius. Joe, yeah, you got them guns. It's fearful looking.
There we go. Let's do that. Right, so, just hold that. This is a really long piece of rope. I borrowed it from my dad first thing this morning. I didn't realize it was so long.
They can't hold it. Yo, snap that. Snap that instantly.
Huh? Sorry. You get the idea.
It's not good.
Okay. So, fear, if we allow it to, it will paralyze us. It will prevent us from stepping out and doing what God is calling us to do. So I didn't do that very well, did I? And a lot of the time, it's like us holding on to that fear, just like Joseph is doing. He's holding on to the rope. It's us holding on to it. We don't want to let go because we're scared. And what does it take for us to let go of this fear? Well, it takes faith. Faith overcomes fear. Faith is letting go of what scares us, letting go of our fear. And it's taking it and it's hanging it on the cross. It's giving it
Amen.
To Jesus.
Amen.
And then it's fully surrendering ourselves to Him. It's bowing down before Jesus, before God. It's holding our arms out, fully surrendered to Him. Saying, not my will, but your will
be done. Come on, Claire.
And it's shifting our focus from our fear and shifting it to God.
Amen.
Knowing that He's always with us and that He will never leave us. So faith overcomes fear.
Praise God.
Amen. Hebrews 10:38 through 39 says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. But if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. But we are certainly not of those who are held back by fear and perish. We are among those who have faith and experience true life. You see, God wants us to experience true life. He wants us to step out from our fears and do the thing that scares us. So I'm going to share a story with you. This happened, I don't know, about 4 years ago. Three and a half, 4 years ago. And it was when I was working at the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital in Norwich. And one of my colleagues had been trying for about a year to get pregnant, over a year to get pregnant. And it was beginning to consume her, it was upsetting her. And I remember being at work one day and God saying to me, I want you to pray for her. And I said, yeah, Lord, that's fine. I'll pray for her. I do pray for her, Lord. And he's like, no, I don't want you to pray by yourself. I want you to go and ask her. That's if right. You can lay hands on her belly, then you can pray for her.
Amen.
And I said, no. No. I said, one, she doesn't even know you, so she's going to think I'm crazy. Two, I could be fired. Three, what if it doesn't work? I'm not doing it. And for weeks, God relentlessly pursued me. And eventually, because it was just constant, I knew that that's what he was calling me to do. And I knew I had to be obedient to him. So one day, my colleague and I, we were left alone in the photography room. And I was so scared, but I knew that that was the time that I had to do it. And I was terrified. The fear wasn't gone, it was still there. I was absolutely terrified. But despite that, I stepped out and I went to her and I just said, can I please pray for you? And she said, yes. She said, yes, you can. So we went behind this little surgical curtain thing and I said, can I put my hands on your belly? And she said, yes. Bear in mind, she's not a believer. And so I put my hands on her belly and I prayed for her.
Amen.
And about 6 weeks later, she wasn't at work that day, but she sent me a message and she said, I'm pregnant. But
that's why I tell the whole story.
The story doesn't end there. Mm-hmm. And this is the part of the story that I don't normally tell. Because we don't like to see God. We don't like to think that we have failed. So this is the part of the story that I tend to leave out. A few weeks later, she lost that baby. So she was devastated. I was devastated. I felt like I'd let her down. I felt like I'd let God down. I felt like I'd let myself down. And then it changed, and I felt like God had let me down. I was like, God, why did you call me to do that?
Mm-hmm.
It was just heartbreak. And you know what God did? He told me to pray for her again.
That's right.
He told me to pray for her again. And again, I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not putting her in that position. I'm not putting myself in that position. I'm not putting you in that position, Lord. I'm not going to do it. But God pursued me again and said, I want you to go and pray for her. So again, even more scared than the first time, I went to her and I said, can I pray for you again? And you know what she said? She said, yes, yes you can. So again, I prayed for her again. And a few weeks later, she came to me, she was at work this time, and she told me she was pregnant. And she is now the mother of a healthy little baby boy.
Yes. Yes.
You see, what looked like failure to me, God used to bring about success. I was thinking lately, because I never shared that first part of the story, I'd normally just say, yeah, I laid hands on her, I pray for her, and she got pregnant, and now she has a baby. But what I thought about while I was writing the sermon, because God asked me to share that part of the story with all of you, was that during those moments after she had lost the baby, during those moments, and she's not a believer, and I'd love to share with you that she got saved, and you know, but she didn't. But during those moments when she lost that baby, she began to go to a cathedral in Norwich, and she began to light a candle for the baby that she lost, and she shared that. And it's something that she started to do regularly. And one time I went to go visit her, and she even invited me to go with her to the cathedral and to light a candle for her baby. She even had her son's first birthday party in a church. And in that very church, because Joseph and I went to the birthday party, there's a sign that I remember, and it says something along the lines of, come as you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you're welcome here, come as you are. And, you know, even though that looked like it failed, God sees the bigger picture. And he can take what was intended to be bad for us, and he can make it good.
Come on. Yeah. That's right.
God sees the bigger picture. So is God calling you to do something that scares you silly? I read a few days ago an article about how we often misunderstand what being brave looks like. And I quote this. It says, we often think it's a roar and a lunge, but maybe it's a whisper and a trembling step.
Amen. Amen.
We often think it's loud and bold, but perhaps it's quiet and and Amen. Almost invisible.
Amen.
You see, sometimes the fear doesn't actually go. Sometimes being brave is not the absence of fear. It's stepping out despite the
come
fear.
On. Come on.
Sometimes we have to do things afraid. And you know the most effective way to do something? Is to do it.
Do it.
Yeah. Regardless how you feel. So do it afraid, knowing that God is right there with you. And something that I think we forget as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit inside us.
Amen.
The Bible says we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power.
Yes.
We've been given a spirit of power.
Yes.
Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imaginations. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. You see, God has a plan for each and every one of us here today. Inside all of you, he has placed something unique. He has placed a specific purpose, and he doesn't want you to hold on to it so tightly that it's not coming to fruition. So what are you holding on to today because of fear? What is it that you're holding on to? What is God calling you to do? Maybe, like me, it's to pray for someone, a work colleague, a friend, a loved one, someone you don't even know, but you're too scared to ask them. Or maybe it's a job position, but you feel it's way above you and you feel unqualified. Maybe he's calling you to do something right here in this very church, but you feel unworthy, you don't feel good enough. Maybe you're afraid of being hurt. Maybe you're afraid of getting tired or overwhelmed. Maybe he's calling you to share the gospel with someone you don't even know, maybe like a complete stranger, I don't know, but you fear rejection. Maybe he's given you a dream, something that looks completely impossible, and you're scared of failing. Maybe it's just something else that scares you silly. Whatever it is, know that if God is calling you to it, he will enable you to do it. Just like Peter, he will enable you to walk on water. And I just think it's time that we look fear in the face and we'll just say, you can't stop me. Can't stop me anymore. I just want to mention a few of the people that God used to do his will. The ones that he called to do scary things. And despite their fears, they stepped out and they accomplished great things because they had faith and they trusted God. So Gideon's the first one I want to talk about. When God first commanded Gideon to rescue the Israelites, he was hiding in a wine press. And then throughout the entire story, Gideon demonstrated fear. He was insecure, he was indecisive, he was afraid, he was scared. But when he finally put his trust into God, when he finally obeyed what God was calling him to do, the Israelites were freed from 7 years of oppression. So you see what God can do when we trust him. Esther was an orphan, but God had great plans for her life. Esther went from orphan to queen. The lives of the Jews hung on her shoulders. And whatever she decided to do, death seemed like imminent, whatever she decided to do. And I think she probably was terrified. But Esther went before the king anyway, and she made an appeal for her people. She did what God wanted her to do, and he took care of her. And he used her courageous step of faith to save an entire nation. The Bible says that she was created for such a time as this, and she didn't let fear stand in her way. She trusted God. What were you created for? What time were you created for? Now.
Amen. Amen.
Moses was a Hebrew born into slavery, and he was adopted into an Egyptian royal family. But as soon as he found out his true identity, he ran away. And he was living in the desert when God appeared to him in a burning bush, and he commanded Moses to go back to Egypt and to bring the Hebrews out of slavery. And Moses had many reasons why he couldn't do it. He said, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if I don't speak well? And in the end, he just said, don't send me. I don't want to go. I'm too scared. But as soon as Moses shifted his focus from his fear to faith, And he trusted that God would go before him and never leave him. He was able to lead all of the Hebrew slaves because he trusted God. And the last person I want to talk about is Jesus. Now you might say, well, the Son of God, nothing is impossible for him. He can do scary things. But remember, the Bible says that when Jesus came to earth, he came in the form of man. So he's just like you and I. He felt the same things we felt. He had the same emotions we felt. Yet God called him to take the weight of our sin on his shoulders. God called him to make a way where there was no way. God called him to die for us. Jesus died so that we could live. I'm going to repeat that again. Jesus died so that we can live.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus died.
Come on, Claire.
So that we
Come on.
Can live.
Amen.
We need to start living Amen. The Amen. Life that Jesus died for. Amen. The life that he intended for us. You see, God didn't create us to be ordinary. He created us
Come on.
To be extraordinary
Come on.
And to lead an extraordinary life. We need to stop fitting in and we need to start standing up.
Amen.
Isaiah 43:1 says, but now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you, do not fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine.
Come on.
We are his. We are his. We are not of this world. We are children of God. And the kingdom of heaven is our inheritance. We have the blood of Jesus Christ running through our veins. We have the blood of Jesus Christ running through our veins. We are not of those who shrink back or are bound by fear, but those who know that God is our Father. We know he dwells inside of us, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is impossible for him. We can do all things
Come on.
Through Christ who strengthens us. All things. Nothing is impossible for him. This is a very short sermon because I'm about to end. But I want to end with the words of our very own Pastor Vince. Last week he said, we need to release, this was at a prayer meeting we went to, release the chicken inside of you and start honoring what God has put inside of you. Release the chicken inside of you and start honoring what God has put inside of you. In other words, stop letting fear stop you. Get rid of that chicken inside of you and start doing what God has called you to do.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So you heard that, church. You have to release the chicken that is inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Claire. All right. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and the ladies are going to take up this morning's offering, and I'm going to invite the worship team up as well to come and help me. And we are going to prepare to close out this service. I do want to invite everyone to stay back with us as well after the service. After the service, we've got a bit of a cake and some tea and stuff to celebrate our sister Gina. So we just want to invite each of you to stay back with us and have a cup of tea and a slice of cake.